Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM. Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. Feel free to call into the Stephen A. Smith Show anytime. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. Got a lot of stuff to get into. You know, managers getting fired in Major League Baseball. One was fired recently in Boston. Another was fired in Philly. One should be fired in New York. I mean, damn. It's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Got that to talk about. Aaron Rodgers has been tagged with a weird kind of tag, unrestricted free agency tender to Aaron Rodgers. I'll explain that a little bit later as we talk about the Stephen A. Smith Show right here on Sirius XM. Mad Dog Sports Radio, and of course, you know, we also want to get into the NBA playoffs. And before I do that, you know what? Sean, kick my music, please. Kick it.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
Say, go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. That's where my heart is at right now. That's where my mind is at right now. You hear me, Spike Lee? You hear me, Tracy Morgan? You hear me, Chris Rock? You hear me, Ben Stiller? I mean, it's what it's all about, baby. It's orange and blue skies, baby. It's orange and blue skies. The New York Knicks, which had me in panic mode, looking like hot garbage, losing back-to-back one-point games, okay, to the Atlanta Hawks in games 2 and 3, showed up in game 4, knowing had they lost that game, they'd be on the brink of elimination tonight at Madison Square Garden. But courtesy of Karl Anthony Towns, courtesy of Mike Brown having an epiphany and recognizing the importance of getting that man the ball, because the Atlanta Hawks have no answer for him. Understand that Jalen Brunson, the stud that he is, has to be differential from time to time because he's miniature at 6 feet, and that's what the New York Knicks did. As a result, what has happened is the New York Knicks find themselves back in pristine position. Something that I'm very, very, very happy about. And as a result, the New York Knicks, living large, y'all, living large, are tied 2-2 in this best of 7 series scheduled tonight. If they handle their business the way they're supposed to handle their business, are going to be going up 3-2 in this series, okay? And as a result, they will do what they need to do, and be up 3-2 and put the Atlanta Hawks on the brink of elimination, which is exactly where they belong, because they have no business pushing the Knicks to the brink of anything at this particular moment in time. And that is what we are talking about. So for me personally, I'm happy about it. You know, in the end, this is what it comes down to. I expect better from the New York Knicks. They won their last game, and we'll see whether or not they handle their business tonight, because they'd better. Karl Anthony Towns, 20 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists in the last game, recorded his first postseason triple-double, and OG Anunoby had 22 points, 10 rebounds, led all scorers, as New York never trailed after 6 minutes into even the series at 2-2. One of the big things we got to pay attention to is that Karl Anthony Towns, all right, you got to remember how things shifted. Brunson came off the ball. He contributed to cutting and setting screens and all of this other stuff. Obviously, Karl Anthony Towns had 10 assists. His brother was passing the ball all over the place, getting cats involved and doing what needed to be done. So I'm very, very happy about that. But the New York Knicks have to handle their business tonight. And the question is, are they going to do just that? I believe they are. I believe they're the better team. I believe they're the superior team. The Hawks are up and coming, but the New York Knicks should be handling their business. OG Anunoby over the last two games, 25.5 points on 56% shooting and 50% shooting from three-point range while adding 9.5 rebounds and only one turnover in 77 minutes. OG Anunoby has been earning his money, okay? The same cannot be said for Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges obviously continues to struggle to the point where, I mean, in this series against the Hawks, the brothers averaging 7.3 points on 42% shooting and 45% from three-point range without a single offensive rebound in the entire series. And the New York Knicks have been outscored by 22 points with Bridges on the court in this series. The New York Knicks gave up 4 unprotected first-round picks for this man, 6 first-round picks overall, and he ain't getting the job done. It's just that simple. All right. I like the kid personally. I'm happy he got his money, $150 million. I think he's worth it. I'm just talking about the picks, not the money. He's not getting it done. And as a result, Mike Brown has been forced to put in guys like McBride and Jordan Clarkson and others. And guess what? It's the right thing to do because all hands on deck trying to win a playoff series. We're trying to win a playoff series. And the real key in finding out if the New York Knicks are going to continue to have trouble, all right, and this series ends up going something like 7 games or whatever. You know what? If you're James Dolan and the New York Knicks were to lose this series, I don't mind heads rolling. If Tom Thibodeau is gone because of Leon Rose and World Wide West and some of these players like Mikal Bridges who were clamoring for Thibodeau to be gone, I don't have any problem with it. But if it wasn't Leon Rose and it wasn't World Wide West and this was about James Dolan wanting Tom Thibodeau gone, then once again, it's James Dolan interfering and sticking his nose in business he ain't qualified to stick his nose into, okay? But it's all a matter of who made that decision if they lose this series. If they win this series, in all likelihood, they'll have the Boston Celtics next. And I got news for y'all. This ain't last year. You going up against Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the crew. This ain't the same Celtics team as last year. This is a team with vengeance on its mind that can't imagine themselves getting knocked out 2 years in a row by the New York Knicks. So understand the kind of competition that we're talking about, what they're going to have to do and what they're going to have to go up against. Please pay attention. This is what's going to be, is what it's going to be. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. You're talking about guys, whether it's 7 conference finals appearances with Jaylen Brown or 6 with Jason Tatum, assuming they win this series and the next series. Do y'all understand they would have been to that many conference finals and neither is even 29 years of age as of yet? Do you understand that? You understand what a formidable threat the Boston Celtics are? You understand Peyton Pritchard coming off the bench doing the kind of stuff that he's been doing? You understand Derek White and the kind of things that he's been doing? I mean, the Boston Celtics are nothing to sneeze at. They are nothing to be joked around about. They are a team to be reckoned with. And Peyton Pritchard, this brother, coming off the bench for the Boston Celtics, just impressive. Knows his role and plays it to perfection. Boston's leading Philadelphia 3-1. There's no reason on earth to believe that Boston ain't going to take the 76ers out in game 5. There's no reason to believe that. 76ers just ain't on their level. The shocker right now, and maybe it's a knock against all of us because it shouldn't be a shocker, is what has happened to the Detroit Pistons. The number one seed in the Eastern Conference, led by the coach of the year and J.B. Bickerstaff, is down 3-1. And I got news for you. It ain't about coaching. These brothers can't shoot. They can't shoot. That's the problem. They cannot shoot. They can't. Cade Cunningham, after him, nobody. And by the way, we on radio, and this part airs on YouTube as well, so you've seen it, but y'all have seen it already. You seen this brother Kane for Orlando and this dunk he had on Jalen Durham last night? I mean, it was so bad that Jalen Durham probably, you know, they back in Detroit now, down 3-1. On the brink of elimination, needed to win this, and then going back to Orlando for a potential game 6 to win that game and force it to game 7. They got to win 3 straight in order to resurrect themselves and survive this series. Did you see the Kane dunk on Jaylen Duren? I mean, it's the kind of dunk where somebody dunks on you like that, where it ain't, I mean, you got to go home to your woman and get a hug. You need that kind of affection. You need that kind of affection, that kind of solace, that kind of comfort to overcome how embarrassing that was. I mean, not only did he dunk on them, but Jalen Durham is a big boy, by the way, and fell down. Listen, it got mugged. It was a dunk. It just mugged in his face. It's like, damn. Orlando is treating the Detroit Pistons with zero respect. Here's a big reason why. The Detroit Pistons are the worst three-point shooting team in the playoffs. They're shooting at 27.5% from three-point range. They can't shoot. They can't shoot. And Cade Cunningham has limited help. Meanwhile, this is why I bring this up. See those numbers by Desmond Bane, acquired from Memphis, Ja Morant, former teammates in attendance, watching Desmond Bane there. You see the 22 points Desmond Bane had, 7 to 18 shoot from the field, 5 to 10 from three-point range. You remember the assists, the multiple picks that the Orlando Magic gave up to get Desmond Bane? Desmond Bane is shooting 44% from three-point range in this series. Desmond Bane is doing his job. Desmond Bane is validating the investment that the Orlando Magic have made in him. He's validating what investment the Orlando Magic have made in him. Mikal Bridges is not doing that for the New York Knicks. Now, there are people going to look at him and say, hey, they beat Boston last year. And they beat Boston last year. When they beat Boston last year, look at what he did. And it was his defense that, I mean, shoot, games 1 and 2 in Boston. Mikal Bridges saved the day. No doubt. Like I said, he's worth $150 million. He shows up and he'll give you more than 70 games a year. He'll give you more than 30 minutes a night. He's a 16 to 18 point per game scorer. You understand? Mikal Bridges was once in the finals with the Phoenix Suns with Devin Booker and CP3 as his teammate. I got mad respect and love for Mikal Bridges. He hasn't gotten the job done this year playing for the New York Knicks. And the reason why it's so bad is because, A, the New York Knicks could have had Giannis Antetokounmpo if they didn't give up all them damn picks. B, he was one of the people that were chirping about Tom Thibodeau running dudes into the ground. So the belief is he had something to do with a willingness for the New York Knicks to move on from Tom Thibodeau. Ain't his fault. He didn't make the call. Nothing like that, but he certainly didn't mind he didn't mind calling out Tom Thibodeau for running dudes into the ground. And now here you are playing under Mike Brown, and you can't find your ass from your feet. He doesn't look good at all. And so as a result of that, the New York Knicks got some issues. And that's just the way it is. So somehow, some way, they're going to have to sit up there and overcome it. Whether it's with focusing on Carl Anthony Towns more than Jalen Brunson being deferential, Clarkson and McBride coming off the bench, OG continuing to play the way that he's playing. You know, don't hear much from Josh Hart right now about supporting Mikal Bridges, do we? Because all hands on deck. You got to get it done. We ain't talking people personally. These are great dudes, good people, professionals, elite at what they do. Mikal Bridges ain't playing like it. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. And I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it till the cows come home. The only thing that I hold Jalen Brunson accountable for is that as the star of the team in the face of the franchise, no, you weren't in the negotiating room. That was Leon Rose. You can't let him give up 5-4 unprotected first-round picks and 6 first-round picks overall for a non-all-star. You can't do that. You can't do that. When you're the face of the franchise, you a boss. Let me tell you something. You got to make sure your voice is heard and be like, yo, that can't happen. That can't happen because we're going to need those assets down the line because other teams are improving within the Eastern Conference and we want to be able to compete. I'm so scared for the Knicks because I'm looking at the Knicks right now and I'm like, if y'all don't win this year, when you going to win? Boston ain't fading. Detroit is elevating. Orlando is coming. Atlanta's no joke. They're coming. Cleveland might be soft, but they still could be prolific offensively at the snap of a finger. Toronto has made a series out of that with Cleveland. I'm just looking at it right now, and I'm like, damn, this is what it is. And that's just the Eastern Conference. Lakers about to get Austin Reeves back. Oklahoma City already handled their business with Phoenix. Minnesota, even though they up 3-2, they better win game 6 because you better not go back to game 7 in Denver against Jokic and Jamal Murray and those boys. You better not. I'm telling you that right now. And McDaniels might have spoke too soon. See, you can't open your mouth. until a deal is closed. He opened their mouth about how bad they were defensively. Well, guess what? Ant-Man hurt his knee. Dante DiVincenzo tore his Achilles. And because both of them are out, now you're looking at the Minnesota Timberwolves team that if they don't win game six, why would you believe they're going to win game seven back in Denver? Why would you believe that? Why would you believe that? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Sean, you guys, did y'all get that video that I sent y'all? Ladies and gentlemen, I got the Western Conference. I just brought that up, the NBA, stuff like that. I brought up the managerial position. New York Mets need to get rid of Mendoza, all right? Probably hire somebody like Alex Cora, who, by the way, got fired from Boston. Philly wanted him, but he turned down the opportunity in Philly because he's expecting a multitude of opportunities for himself this offseason. Don Mattingly, Donnie Baseball, anybody that loves the Yankees like I do knows all of it we need to know about Don Mattingly. Love him, but I don't know if he's the right guy to be a manager because player relations, ingratiating himself with players, doing whatever it takes, stuff like that, that's not his strength. Okay, personality-wise, it's a bit challenging for him. Alex Cora is obviously the preferred dude, but because he turned down the job to be the Phillies manager, Don Mattingly is named the interim dude. I don't know how much that's going to help them. Rob Thompson is out as the manager of the Phillies. That's why Don Mattingly is in there, because Philadelphia is underachieved, even though Dombrowski needs to look at himself as the president, because they're a bit older and their bat's a bit slower. And that has a lot to do with why the Phillies are looking the way that they're looking. And don't get me started with the New York Mets. It really might not be about Mendoza. It really is all about David Stearns. You lose Pete Alonso in the offseason. You lose Sterling Marte in the offseason. You lose Brandon Nimmo in the offseason. I mean, damn. It's about that general manager more so than it is about Mendoza. But when you are this bad, when you lose this many games, when you don't have the pulse of the team, and you ended the season last year with the same problem that you started this season off now, clearly you're not the man for the job and Mendoza needs to go. It's just that simple. But I bring all of that up to say, I'll get into all of that in a second. On this radio show, allow me to get a little bit personal. Because I want to. You know, when you sit in my position, I could have saved this for my YouTube show. But my opening monologue is going to run on YouTube, so I don't mind saying it to you right now. And I hope my social media guys, Joffrey and Tisha, are watching, because I'm going to want this posted. I saw Steve Stout. Steve Stout was somebody that supposedly was connected with the Knicks and obviously is in the music industry and stuff like that. He showed up on the Boardroom. Boardroom is owned by Kevin Durant, run by Rich Kleinman. KD's quote-unquote manager, stuff like that. And they had a conversation about me. And I feel compelled to comment just for a few minutes. Got respect for both of these brothers, even though Rich Kleinman is a brother from another mother. You know what I'm saying? In other words, he's white. And Steve Stout is Steve Stout. Connected to Jay-Z, my boy Michael Kaiser, OG Juan and the crew. They know how much love I got for them. But I was listening to Steve Stout on the Boardroom recently talking about me. Everybody got to talk about me these days. I guess I really am popular. I guess I really do, you know, do numbers and stuff like the box office, that kind of thing. But they said something that I feel compelled to respond to. And before I elaborate further, I want y'all all to hear. It's posted on the Boardroom, and I guess they got it on Instagram or X or wherever the hell it is. But I sent it to my producers because I want them to play for y'all what they said so I can respond in real time with my listeners, my family, my callers, etc. Take it away, Sean. Play that sound.
Fame is a dangerous drug. I think Stephen A. Smith, the fact that he's actually a great journalist, is homogenized by the shit that he's doing for fame. Fame and talent had a great relationship. Fame is the amplifier of talent. Fame has decided it doesn't need talent anymore. Fame has actually outpaced talent, and the worst part of that is that talent has accepted that truth. So people who are talented will actually do something that will get them famous versus leaning into their talent. If you decide, I'm gonna have a hot take that's ridiculous as shit, just because I know it's gonna get clicks, what are you doing to your brand? What do you think that does to you?
So when you say talent's accepted it, is it that they'll either compromise their brand or just accept that what their talent is?
Both. I have a great deal of respect for Stephen A. Smith. I think Stephen A. Smith has done so much that is about fame than the fact that he's actually a great journalist. He's clearly cashing out. But his journalism, the thing that he's great at, I believe, is homogenized by the shit that he's doing for fame.
Ladies and gentlemen, I reached out to Steve Stout. I haven't heard from him. I want to say for the record, that offends me. I'm going to say it right here on radio. I found what Steve Stout said about me offensive. And I found Rich Kleiman sitting up there and buying into that bullshit offensive too. Now, when we talk about clout chasing and all of this other stuff, I want to have a conversation with y'all because I'm Italian Joey Logano, the NASCAR guy, and what he had to say about me yesterday and all. I'm going to keep it a buck with everybody. I challenge anybody to show me how I've changed. I've been in this business for over 30 years. I speak my mind. I tell you where I stand, and I stand on it. If I'm wrong, I'm open to being corrected. But most of the time, I'm not. And I stand on it. How many people you know in my position would be hosting a radio show and taking calls from listeners every day? I love it. These people hide from it. Where the scrutiny? Steve Stout, you know what I could talk about Steve Stout and his career? Clout chasing? What the hell you mention my name for? Ain't you doing that? What you talking about? See, I want to be careful because I appreciate him acknowledging that he respects my work. What I don't respect is this implication that, oh my goodness, I'm a great journalist, but I shove that aside because I'm for fame. I don't give a shit about fame. I already have it. I am on the air 4 hours a day live. I've had the number one show in the mornings in sports for 14 consecutive years. I am now on radio 2 additional hours on top of the two hours that I do on television. You ask me a question, I answer it. You ask me how I feel, I tell you. I've said repeatedly, one of the greatest compliments I've ever received in my career was John Thompson, who passed away, God rest his soul, years ago. One of the great, great coaches and human beings we've ever known. Who would say about me, you know what I love about Stephen A. Smith? If you want to know how he feels, just ask him. You ask me a question, I answer it. We pick a subject, I'm talking about it, I tell you how I feel. Why do I have an audience? Why do people listen to me? Why have you reached out to me in the past, Steve Stout? Because if you have a question, I'm going to answer it. Was I clout chasing when you called me on the phone and you asked me a question, whether it be about the New York Knicks or something else? No. You asked me a question, I answer it. Rich Kleiman, with all the shit you do that most people don't know about, you in the boardroom, and the tentacles that you have and the things that you do to manipulate proceedings so you can get cash in your pocket, riding KD's coattails, you gonna sit up there and just listen to a conversation like that and accuse me or contribute to accusing me of not being authentic? Because I'm seeking fame? What fame? What fame exactly is it that I'm seeking? Ladies and gentlemen, I'll ask y'all rhetorically, but honestly, help a brother out. I'm a black kid from Hollis, Queens, New York City. Grew up dyslexic, graduated with honors, made a career for myself in sports, starting off as a reporter, been a reporter over 20 years, a beat writer for over 10 years, became one of 21 African-American columnists, a license to get my opinion and editorialize and all of this other stuff before YouTube, before podcasts, and all of that stuff came along. Were they saying that then? How many times do I have to tell y'all, you got influencers and then you have journalists? I earned the right to give my opinion. I didn't just pop up and feed off of the changing times that allow that basically implemented these outlets where you could give your opinion. Oh no, I had to do it where you had to climb the charts and get it done. In September, I'm being inducted into the Broadcast Hall of Fame. September 29th, I think that's the date. I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm on national TV every day. I have a radio show, national. I have a television show, national. Both top rated. I have a political show. I work my ass off for a living. I act on a soap opera. I own a production company where I'm producing content. I own my own studio. And I'm looking for fame. You have any idea how insulting that is? What's wrong with us? You ask me a question, I answer it. I was giving my opinion before YouTube came along. Was it a problem then? I was giving my opinion before podcasting came along. Was it a problem then? When your ass wanted to run the Knicks, Steve Stout, when you called me and we talked about it, excuse me, what was I looking for fame then? Was I looking for fame? Was that fame? This is what I mean. And you, Rich Kleiman, you know how I can get, Rich. You know how I can get, but I'm going to be cool. I'm going to be cool. Because I can dedicate a week of shows to your entire ass. But I won't. I'm going to leave it alone. Because I like you. And I got love for Steve Stout. What I'm saying is, what's up with that, y'all? I'm seeing some video and we're talking about how, oh, you treating me and talking about me like I've sold out the industry. You know, he's a great reporter, but, you know, fame. What fame? It's y'all. Nobody's been talking about me like this until I got paid. Can we talk about that? Can we talk about a black man sitting in a position, finally getting a bag, and didn't have to dribble a basketball or catch a touchdown pass or make a rap album to do it, and all of a sudden, that I'm the center of attention? Can we talk about that? Nah, we don't want to talk about that. Why am I upset, ladies and gentlemen? I'm upset because I'm sick and tired of people that I've been cool with, that smile in my face, that talk to me, and then I find out some shit about how they really feel behind my back. And it's on social media or video. I don't appreciate that. You know how many stories have been talked about involving Steve Stout? You've never heard one of them from Stephen A. Smith. See, this is why people like Hov, OG Juan, Michael Kaiser, people like that. That's why I got so much love for them. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you how many times Jay-Z has gotten in my ass over something that he disagreed with me about in the world of sports. He called me directly. OG Juan, same thing. Desiree, his wonderful, brilliant wife, same thing. Kaiser, same thing. See, I ain't got no problems with people like that. What I got a problem with is people talking in my face and everything is copacetic and cool. And then I see some shit on social media or behind my back. I'm getting sick of that. I'm getting sick of that. Because you see, everything is open for discussion. And if you know nothing else about me, you know I can talk. I can make weekly segments out of y'all. I apologize. Daily segments out of y'all. And I would never do it. Ladies and gentlemen, you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. I don't give a damn who it is. When Joey Logano said yesterday, when I made up that, when I discussed the situation, hey, y'all, golf, that's not an athletic sport. That's a sport. It don't require you to be an athlete. NASCAR don't require you to be an athlete. It's some damn uproar. So what? You feel differently than I do. Let's discuss it. Let's argue about it. Ain't no big deal to me. But Joey Logano says, oh, my goodness, he's looking to be relevant. I am relevant. I'm not looking for anything. My job says I'm relevant. My status says I'm relevant. My employers say I'm relevant. The content that I own says I'm relevant. The audience that I've built spanning decades says I'm ordering, that says I'm relevant. And so does my check. I'm not looking for anything. I already have it. Last time I checked, that was a reason to respect somebody. Not to sit around there and use an opportunity to slide in snide remarks like I sold my soul. I didn't change. Y'all asses changed. I'm still the same old Stephen A. You don't see me talk about people's personal business. You don't see me betraying trust. You don't see me having private conversations and taking it public without people's permission. And you certainly don't see me being two-faced, being in your face saying one thing and doing another. Steve Stout, Rich Kleiman, I don't appreciate that shit. I don't appreciate it one bit. But I'm going to let it go. And for those that feel I'm arguing with everybody, it's not everybody. Oh, black folks. Oh, man, Stephen A, they ain't showing you no love. I get nothing but love from my peeps. I ain't a black man. I'm a brother to my brothers and sisters. I came in this world black. I'm going to leave it black. And I'm going to stay here while I'm here black as hell. And to my core and my soul and proud of it. Not anti anything. But I'm a proud black man. Just because a few people who happen to be black are two-faced as hell and turn around and turn their back and all of a sudden say some shit behind your back. They don't speak for the vast majority. They don't speak for the whole. And they damn sure don't speak to y'all. Because while they talking that shit, they sitting up there in the real world, you know, with elitist. Distant from y'all. They ain't communicating with y'all on the phone every day. They ain't walking through the streets of America where everybody knows them and you rapping to everybody from the streets to the airports to the bus stations and everything in between, the train stations and everywhere else, the barbershop and everywhere else. They ain't doing that. I am. Ain't nobody changed this way. Y'all changed. But I'm great at adaptation. I will adapt. You show me you real, we good. You want to be phony and two-faced? I got to deal with that too. I don't appreciate what y'all said, Steve Stout, Rich Kleiman. I don't appreciate how you just asking the question, Rich Kleiman, acting like you innocent Abe in all of this. I don't like it. But I'm going to let it go for now. But if any additional smoke is needed to come my way, know I'm here for it. Next time, invite me on the boardroom and say that shit to my face. And justify it. It's real easy to talk when I'm away. And there's no rebuttal. You don't have facts to back up what you said, Steve Stout. Not about me. Again, I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave it alone. But if any smoke is inclined to come my way, know that I'm here for it. And I ain't Bill Clinton. I ain't going to deny inhaling it all. I'm going to take it. And then I'm going to give that shit right back in droves. Relentlessly, tenaciously, perpetually, nonstop. I'm only going to say it once. I'm only going to say it once. Go to break.